right, welcome into another edition of Catching Up with Tommy Mac Podcast here on 1010XL's podcast platform, 1010XL.com, 1010XL app, of course, and all over the place, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, any social media channel. We are all over it, not just this show, but all the shows that are done right out of here. The 1010XL Studios, brought to you by Team Tommy Mac. You've been hearing about me talking about Team Tommy Mac, Team Tommy Mac Strong. They are strong. A group of about 10, 11 businesses, man, just doing it right. I'll talk about them a little bit later. When in need, you'll call on them because they're going to take care of you. If they don't, then they're not on Team Tommy Mac. It's very, very simple. Hope you all had a great weekend, a great Monday. We had a fabulous weekend. Our youngest competed in the Nancy, well, it wasn't Nancy Dance. She competed for Nancy Dance Studios at a dance competition over at the Thrasher Horn Center. She did phenomenal. The whole team did phenomenal. They always do great. I tell you, until you watch them, and even backstage where you see them come off the stage, they're exhausted. They're you know, trying to catch their breath. They got bruises up and down their legs. You don't realize how challenging it is and how gifted they are and how tough they are. I love it. I really like it. Any competition is good competition in my book. So how about this? So I'm over that way. I've been over that way before. And we always have a break to try to, you know, find a place to go. Well, we ended up going to Whitey's Fish Camp Friday and Sunday, and it was absolutely great. What an awesome place. I, my wife said I've been there before. I don't really remember being there before, but I'll tell you what, I would go back in a heartbeat. What a kick-ass place. I want to see if my band, the Dad Bods, can play there. What a cool outdoor, man. Whoa, that's awesome. Indoors, too, but the outdoor patio right on the wall. Water, just looking down the I don't know what creek that is. I know it's off Doctor's Lake, but man, we have some beautiful, you know, that's when people talk shit about Jacksonville. I'm like, man, you know what the hell you're talking about? You know, you just don't understand until you go venture out and witness and experience and all that. And to me, it was great. Whitey's Fish Camp. I know a lot of you are like, Tom, what are you talking about? We go there all the time. Been going there for years. You know, you got to catch up, no doubt about it. But it was fantastic, and hats off. To all the day, hey, listen, even the other students, you get up there to compete, man, that ain't no joke at all. That's very, very daunting. I think the most daunting thing you can do in this life is try to be a comedian. You know what I mean? To get up there and get people to laugh at your jokes, to me, that's like extremely, extremely hard. But dance is right up there. Hey, do want to thank Iggy's Bar and Grill in Fruit Cove and all the great patrons that stayed for our three sets. When somebody had to leave, I get, or did leave, I get that. But man, thanks so much. We love playing. And it was rocking. Our next gig is May the 3rd at Finn McCool's down in, I think it's still Ponte Vedra, but St. Augustine line right there at Palencia. All right, so lots to get into today. Of course, I'm wearing my Duval Air Force shirt. That you can get at Caribbean Connection down there in Jags Beach because it's draft week and it's the 2024 draft and a very important draft for our hometown team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know all of you out there with your other teams, it's important for you as well. We definitely did a great job in free agency adding talent, so you don't have to strictly go need. Like, it's not like I got to have this, I got to have that. You're going to have hopefully an opportunity to pick from different positions that are still highly rated on your board. We're going to get into that. Get into a little Trevor talk real quick because I'm going to save it for Thursday. Thursday night, we're kicking off season two of my Happy Hour show, now titled the 904 Pro Show. So everybody that's on as a guest will be a professional of some sort. We have Sammy Kavaris and Coach Dave Campo kicking it off. It's a pre-draft party starting at 7 o'clock at the Graffiti Burger Bar in Jacksonville Beach, and I will hang out. I think Bees will too. Bees, of course, my co-host, Killer Bees. Well, at least till the Jags pick. I'll be hanging out. I'm looking forward to seeing which route they go. We'll take a look at the draft, other news and notes. And before we move forward, we'll say hello to my good buddy and producer, Grammage. What's up, Grammage?
Good morning, sir. Happy Tuesday. Happy draft week.
Yes, man. We're right there, 2 days away, right? 48 hours coming up at 7, 8 o'clock tonight.
And, something, it's always sad when the first round officially begins for me because it means mock draft season is over.
Yeah.
And I love me a good mock draft.
Yeah. I've been checking out a bunch of mock drafts.
Pastimes.
It's interesting how some have polar opposite of what's going to happen.
Oh, they're total crapshoots.
Yeah.
But they're very fun.
You know, I wonder, and look, you do what you got to do out there to make a living. I'm not banging on nobody, but, you know, you put together a seventh round mock draft. So how do you know? Are you watching film on all those seventh rounders, sixth rounders? Or are you just looking at other people's drafts and figuring out what you may do, you know, or try to be a little different?
Yeah, I think
I mean, the reality is you're probably not. Maybe you're watching highlights of some guys. I get that. Yeah. So you can tell if they're athletic. You can tell if they're explosive. You can tell some things from watching that. But are you watching their bad games? See, if I'm watching tape of somebody, I want to see their worst game first. I don't want to see their best game. I know they're good. They wouldn't be rated so high if they were good. I want to see when they have a challenging day. Like when you're getting double teamed, when you're getting blocked, when maybe you're normally, I average, I'm not in vain here, 15 tackles a game for 2 years at BC. I did my junior and senior year. That doesn't mean I always had 15. Against Penn State, I had like 8 or 9. And I remember that was a struggle. I was like, oh man, these guys, West Virginia was tough. They had two offensive linemen that went pro, Mike Compton and Rich Bram. Physical, mean, tough. I mean, it was, so those are the ones I want to see. Like if I'm going to go evaluate, really evaluate somebody, let me see when they're having a tough day. Let me see when they're getting blocked. Let me see when they're maybe gave up a sack. How do they recover? Or a pick. How do they recover? Or a drop touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, show me some. I know what the good plays look like. I know what they look like. Because they make play. They make plays. Some of you are going to be like, wow. Some of you are going to be like, yeah, it's a great play. You know, but I want to see when they struggle. Because that's where you truly find out. Because guess what? They're going to struggle in the NFL. Nobody dominates. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Aaron Donald probably would have an argument there, but nobody totally dominates just from the snap of a get. You know what I mean? From rookie year all the way through, you have your tough moments. Even the greatest do. Watch Mahomes in that quarterback thing. He struggled for like 3 games. You're like, wow, I didn't know Mahomes struggled. And you're like, he does. He's human. We all struggle, and you got to know how to have grit and resiliency and bounce back and all that kind of stuff. So, that's what I'm looking at.
If GMs had that same line of thinking, Anthony Richardson would have been like a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
Because he had some tough games.
No, you're right. Well, then you got to factor. It's all upside. That's all it. That's all this. It's even
ceiling,
with when you extend one of your players, it's all what you think they're going to do. Let me get them in the building. Let me get them in the building. Let me get them in my scheme, in my culture, in my locker room. Let me mold them. Because this is what, hey, we saw what he did in college, but we think he can do this in the pros. That's why we're going to rate him that high, draft him that high, et cetera, et cetera.
And are there strengths, things that you can't coach? And are there weaknesses, things that you can coach?
Yeah, good point.
That's really what it comes down to. And that's why that's the whole ceiling versus floor thing and all that. Like,
right.
There are certain quarterbacks that we see it every single year. There are quarterbacks that are very, very productive in college.
Yep.
But the thinking is that they're kind of maxed out as players.
Yeah.
And
versus
like this year, there's like a Jaden Daniels, right?
Okay.
Like,
yep.
Some like one weakness for him has been that sometimes he doesn't always throw with anticipation. He's got to see a guy really come open one or two steps before
he
throws.
Can you make that better?
And most NFL offensive coaches are going to look at that and say, I can coach that.
Right.
But his speed, his breakaway, getaway speed, his huge arm, his accuracy.
Yep.
That you can't really coach.
So I like, and I don't mean a knock on J.J. McCarthy, but when I see J.J. McCarthy, I don't see a lot of upside. I just see a solid, and if it translates to the NFL, he'll be solid QB, and he can win games for you, all right? I don't think he's going to carry an offense on his back. I don't think he's going to be whipping it around for 400 yards. You know what I mean? I don't think that's going to happen. But you look at Jaden Daniels, you're like, you see there's more to go, more coming. You can tell there's more to come with Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams, even though he's great. Drake May, I'm kind of iffy. I don't watch a lot of tape. I'm not going to sit there and say I watch. I see him on TV. I watch the games from time to time. I do my own homework and that type of thing. But you can see, like, just Jaden Daniels, the upside versus J.J. McCarthy, totally solid. I'm not bagging on him, but I don't see him, you know, getting super, super better. I think Jaden Daniels can. I think Caleb Williams can when you hone everything in. You know what I mean? Drake May, maybe. Look, they say he's got a cannon for an arm. I'll always look at a cannon for an arm. No doubt. Got to have it.
What sucks for...
I want to have it.
What sucks for Drake May...
last year wasn't very good.
Last year was that he struggled a little bit. And I think this happened a bit with Trevor as well in terms of how he was talked about coming out. What sucks for Drake May right now is his main comp is Josh Allen.
Yep.
And that's not fair, man. Because if 3 years down the road, if he's not Josh Allen, it's going to be a disappointment for a lot of people. And it was the same thing with Trevor. It's like Trevor was touted as generational, as a once in a generation type of guy. And because he hasn't necessarily been that quite yet, a lot of people are, especially national, not as much guys locally.
Yeah.
Oh, bust.
Right.
It hasn't lived up to expectations. And it's like, well, he didn't come out and say, I'm a Jet. And Drake May's not out here saying, I'm Josh Allen. He's not saying that.
No, right.
Drake May just wants to get drafted and be as good as he can be.
Right. And for the record, and they probably, this is, you know, it's a copycat league. You know, maybe they do view him as the next Josh Allen. I don't know. But if you go look at Josh Allen's stats, touchdown interception, his junior and senior year, it's not that great.
No.
He was 28-17 his junior year and like 16-6 his senior year. But why'd they draft him? The upside.
Yes.
Like, look at that arm. Look at the size. Look at the athleticism. Look at the mobility. Okay, we see the interceptions. Maybe he's not seeing something. We can fix that. You know, give him a little bit more time, a little better weapons. They bring in Stephon Diggs. Helps out. You know what I mean? Helps out a ton. Got a great offensive line to protect him. He'll take off and make his own plays, and he's turned out to be quite the QB.
And again, look at all these things he has that I can't coach.
Right.
Right. I can teach a guy to have perfect mechanics and he will just still not be able to throw as far as Josh Allen.
No, right.
Like
right.
that bazooka of an arm.
Yep.
There's just very few people that have that type of arm.
Yeah.
Even in the league, dudes that are playing professionally in the league right now, there's less than five guys that have that type of arm.
Yeah, you know who, when you said that, I thought of Mike Vick. I'm like, man, that guy could flick it 70 yards.
Dude,
he didn't even have to wind up. He could just, he used to throw it over buildings as a kid, they say.
Threw an NFL-sized football like it's a tennis ball. Yeah. Dude, whips out of his arm. And there's, you know what I'm talking about. You know even more because you played. You know what I'm talking about. There's certain QBs that there's just like a little bit of an extra, like almost jump out of their wrist when they throw a ball. You know what I mean?
Dude, I told you, when I knocked down an Elway pass in a playoff game and hit my middle finger, true story, went up, I didn't catch it, of course, knocked it down, and I swear, my finger, I was like, oh my gosh, it really hurt. I had my glove on, so I didn't think that much. I probably kept pulling on that type of thing. My middle knuckle, true story, was swollen for almost 6 months. I am not crazy. I mean, the point of the ball hit it full speed. He heaved it, tink. Holy cow. It was unbelievable.
Right.
But that's what you're talking about. That kind of, see, that doesn't always translate, but I would love to start with that and try to make that happen.
And nowadays,
excuse me.
Nowadays, it's even more so drafting the upside guy because back in the, Elway, talk about a golden arm. My God. Yeah. But back in the Elway days, it wasn't coveted to find super athletic, speedy guys.
Sit in the pocket and whip the ball around.
Yeah, the speed, the athlete part, I wasn't worried about. I'm just worried about your arm.
Right.
But now, you're looking for, again, like Jaden Daniels, like really fat dudes that can straight up outrun people.
Yep.
That hasn't been a thing traditionally that's been looked for, and speed is another thing. You can't coach.
No.
A guy's faster. You're never going to coach Mac Jones to run fast.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you're faster, you're not.
You gotta be able to throw from the pocket, you got to be able to throw on the run, and you got to be able to escape in today's game. And maybe throwing from the pocket is still number one, but it might be pretty close on the others. You know, getting them. Some guys are better on the run. Some guys throw it better outside of the pocket. But for the most part, you still want a guy that can read the defense, go from one to two, and hopefully to three if he has to, and make those throws from the pocket. But it's going to be interesting. Real quick look around the NFL, getting to more Jag talk. Zach Wilson to the Broncos. Sean Payton. Can he fake Zach Wilson? Now, it's rumored right now. I don't think it's official. Looks like they'll swap draft picks, a 6th and a 7th. They'll split the salary in half. Jets will owe half. Broncos will own half. Can Sean Payton figure out Zach Wilson? Kid's got physical tools. There's no doubt about it. I question how gritty he is and how tough he is. He ain't tough like our QB down here in Jacksonville. No. That's one thing about Trev. He's tough as nails. But interesting that that trade looks to appear. Matt Ryan keeping it on quarterbacks, retiring. 15 years all with the Atlanta Falcons. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Of course, Boston College grad, third pick overall.
Speaking of tough as hell.
Yep.
Matt Ryan was tough as hell.
Great quarterback.
He got the crap beat out of him a lot of years.
He did. He's a big guy, you know. He's like 6'6". Yeah. I interviewed him once at the Radio Row. I was like, holy
shit. All with the Falcons.
Tall. What's that?
You said all with the Falcons?
15 years, right?
He played for the Colts for a year, didn't he?
Did he play?
Matt Ryan?
Oh, he did. That's right. I'm sorry.
I remember in 2022.
That's right. He did.
We beat the hell out of him down here.
That's right. He kicked our ass one game, and then we kicked his ass the next game.
Yep, that's correct.
Remember, that's right. He picked us apart that one day.
The game at home. In Indy.
Right.
He paid poor Shaq Griffin. Not have a good day.
Was it India or down here? I thought it was down here that he picked us apart.
Down here, we shut them out.
Okay.
That was like the third game of the year or something, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And then later on, they had their rookie receiver, who's not a rookie anymore, obviously, the white guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, from USC London? Drake London?
No, not the Falcons.
Oh, who are you talking about? Oh, the Colts. Oh, shit. What am I talking about? All over the place.
I'm trying to remember who
I know. He came from Cincinnati.
That sounds right. I'm not sure.
Alec Pierce. We bring it back.
Pierce was just killing Shaq Griffin all day.
Yeah.
That was a rough game.
Well, it just shows you when you give the QB time, he's going to pick you apart. But congrats to Matt. A great, great career, no doubt about it. You play that long. That's phenomenal. Andy Reid and two of his assistants get paid. Good for them. Who wouldn't want to pay Andy Reid and keep him around? I mean, keep him around till the wheels fall off. But, lots going on. Of course, Tyler Shatley, he re-signs here. What a great career, man. I mean, just you play that long. Keep playing, Tyler. Keep as long as your body can handle it and you're still into it, you keep playing, man. That pension keeps going up and up and up. So does the severance. So does a lot of things. Just and your salary, it's fantastic. You play that long, man. That's a hell of a career. Not many guys get to play that long. You know, a lot do. No, I shouldn't say not many, but a lot do. But a lot of guys are, you know, they say the average is like 3 years, but you're counting guys that get cut and don't make it the first year and all that. But I would say once you make it, I bet you it's about 5, 6, maybe 7.
For him, I mean, what do you think the average is for undrafted guys?
No, I know. I know. I mean, it's been phenomenal.
He's been through some pretty tough years here.
Yeah, hell yeah. And absolutely.
He's always been a solid guy. Has always played well when called upon.
I always thought he could play center. Like, he could start as a center.
I agree.
I really do. I always thought he could be a great center.
I felt like last year,
he should have made the
Fortner
switch.
To me, there were some things last year where it was just like, man, they're really going to go down with the ship with certain things. And that was one of them. I was like, man, like, if the casual fan can see how poorly Fortner's, but why can't you just replace him with Shatley? Right?
Yeah.
Like, he can't play worse.
Right.
There's no way. You can't tell him he's going to play worse.
It's called being a third round pick and not wanting to look bad, basically.
That's the politics
of it all.
Yeah. You're right.
That is the politics of it all. All right, time for some Jags talk. Brought to you by Team Tommy Mac. I added Family Tradition Specialty Foods. They sent me a box. Actually, I shouldn't say they sent me. Scott, the owner, met me at Iggy's and watched the Dad Bods perform. And then after the show, he gave me this big box of swag and all these hot sauces. And I had the Sriracha. I'm not a huge hot sauce. My family, my wife and oldest daughter, love. They put it on everything. I put it on some things, but I'm not like, that's not the first thing I grab. Well, I tried their Sriracha on my eggs. It was absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Family Traditions, Specialty Foods. Great to have them on board. Of course, Chris Lucero's Bail Bonds. Hey, man, you're throwing in the clink. That sucks. He'll get you out, though, in a blink. True story. I did make that up. But it fits because he backs it up. 822-2245. Make sure you put that one in your phone in case you or your family members needed. Helped us out a couple years back, man. I'll tell you, he's a night, a bright light when things can get a little dark. No question about that. J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling. Remove your junk and your construction debris. Make sure you check them out. JDogJunkRemoval.com. Azar Sausage, you know, my favorite. I like the Andouille. I like the hot. The hot is great. Nice, spicy. Get it at Winn-Dixie all across Northeast Florida. Carpet Man Flooring, not just LVP. It's tile, it's carpet, it's hardwood. It's everything you can imagine. Highest quality, lowest prices. Graffiti Burger Bar, host of season two, the pro, the 904 Pro Show with me and Killer Bees this Thursday night, every Thursday night. Stay tuned for more information on that. Brand new ownership, new management, TVs everywhere. Great place to watch a draft. That's where I'll be watching a draft. If you want to come hang with me and Bees, I'll be there as well, and we'll have a good time. Michael Nickus, State Farm Agency, Auto Life Home, Supplemental Health. He's been my agent for 20 years. Give him a shot, man. He'll take care of you. 777-6888. I believe I got that right, but check him out. Michael Nickus, State Farm. Code Ninjas, get your kids into camp. Hey, listen, we're talking about learning games, how to build games, how to learn about security, AI, all this high-tech stuff, but they're also going outside to get some exercise, to play around. So, hey, we all want well-rounded kids, right? Man, not only smart, but smart out there in the field of play as well. Go get it at CodeNinjas.com. Solomon Ventures, hey, home goods all across the board, indoor, outdoor, clothes, food, you name it, Art Museum Drive and Atlantic Boulevard, less than wholesale prices. Jalaram Hotels, my good friends, the Patel family, they've got about 13. They've got tremendous ones in St. Augustine. If you're from out of town and you're listening to the show and you want to take a trip to St. Augustine, I highly recommend because it's a phenomenal city, oldest city in the country. So much to do. So many shops, restaurants, bars, fun historical data, a beautiful architecture. It's really very cool. My daughter went to school down there, as most of you know. Check out JalaramHotels.com. J-A-L-A-R-A-M Hotels.com. Beachside Rentals, of course, home of Salt Air Inn and Suites. Want to stay at the beach? 4 blocks from the beach at Salt Air Inn and Suites, a boutique hotel with concierge service. Beachside Rentals all up and down the coast. By the way, they're looking for help in St. Augustine. Send me a message, if you will. You got a kid out there, home for school, whatever. It's basically setting up chairs and helping people out, but good money, good tips. You'll be out in the sun having a good time. If you're looking for work this summer, we can help you out. That's what Team Tommy Mac does, man. We help each other out. We connect. We help everybody have a good time. I want to thank Adaptive Jax, of course, my marketing partner, and 1010XL. Great to be a part of the family. All right, I made a comment, I think it was yesterday, because I was announcing the season two of the 904 Pro Show. By the way, Coach Ingram, I got to have you on my shows. Come out this Thursday and say hello, if you would. I'd love to see you, man. Love to see you. Send me a message. Thank you. Gerald Ingram, of course, Super Bowl champion coach for the New York Giants under Tom Coughlin here in Jacksonville, and Boston College. Me and Coach Ingram go back a long, long way. So I made a comment about, and I'm not going to say what it is yet, but I'll explain. I made a comment about hearing some things about Trevor, our QB. Nothing. It's not bad. The kid's like, I mean, he's a golden boy. He doesn't do anything wrong. You know what I mean? He's great. But there were rumblings about certain things, and I'm gonna share with those on Thursday at the pro show, because the reason being is when I talked to a few of my guys who will be on the show, Coach Campbell and Sam Kavaris, they had heard similar things. But then I heard last night from Sam, the way that Trevor's responded has been phenomenal. Like, phenomenal, through the roof, totally locked in, doing everything. Look, it was good to hear. We all know the kid's got tremendous talent. We all know this, man. And we all know he's young, and we all know he's our guy. We want him to be the best QB in the league, bringing the Super Bowl champions and all that. The reality is, the work that goes into that position it's got to be overwhelming. You got to put in a ton of time. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm not saying that at all. But for, let's just say, some concerns were raised. He's responded tremendously, and he's going to have an awesome year. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. But it was good to hear because, look, man, it takes more than the physical skills. It takes more than just being tough. It takes a lot. And look, linebackers is easy. I mean, look, you got to know a lot. Don't get me wrong, especially if you're calling the defenses. So you got to know all the calls. You got to know all the checks. You got to know who you're in coverage. You know, you got to know who you got. You got to know who's got coverage behind you. You got to know who's got force. You got to know what gap you're supposed to fill. You got to know if you're blitzing, when you're filling, or where you're going. You got a lot to do. Don't get me wrong. But it's nothing like QB. It's like minuscule compared, and I just named a ton of stuff, minuscule to what a quarterback has to go through to prepare, not only watching on film and reading the playbook, but going through it so he remembers how it went down when he faced it, whether that's seeing a coverage, a disguise, a blitz that he didn't recognize, an open receiver that he missed, whatever it may be, an overthrow, underthrow, whatever. That it takes so much. So I'm not going to say, because I think he does work hard. I'm not saying that. Please don't take it that way. I think the being a true pro and understanding what it takes to be a top quarterback is clicking. And that was great to hear. Great to hear, because that's what it takes. You got it. There's just a lot to balance, man, especially these young guys and it's social media and all this stuff. Like, there's all this stuff. And he's the QB, and it's a lot for a young dude to take on. So I think he's done a great job. And now that I'm hearing he's ready to take that next step, I think that's absolutely fantastic. That's all I want to say. So good for Jag Nation is what that means. No doubt about it. But we will talk about that a little bit on Thursday. We'll also look into the Jags draft. Looking at some of these mock drafts, very interesting. Three different ones that I want to talk about, Grammage. Pro Football Focus has us taking the kid out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean. And then second pick, taking that edge, Marshawn Nealon. We mentioned him, I think, last week. He's out of Western Michigan or Eastern Michigan, an edge rusher. So that's a 1-2 combo. Very interesting there. CBS mock draft. Chargers take Alt at 6, leaving the Titans to take Malik Nabers. Jag fans heads are going to explode on that one if that happens. I know a lot of us are wanting this wide receiver or corner. I'll tell you this. If none of the tackles are there, the ones that just my personal opinion, NBC Sports have all the top tackles gone by pick 17. All 6 of them. I think there's 6 of them, right? Alt, Fuaga.
Fautanu
out of Washington. The kid out of Penn State, Fashanu, I think is his name.
A lot of them have similar names.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they do. Their last names. Who else am I missing? Mims is kind of in there. J.C. Latham's in there.
Yeah.
But they're all gone in their mock. If they're all gone, then go either one. But I would think corner. I'm seeing mocks where, like, when the Jags pick is 17, Arnold and Mitchell are there. The corners are there for the pickings. Like, not to be picked in the top 17. That's kind of odd. You know what I mean? That was just one mock. But you know, again, like we said in the beginning of the show, it's kind of a crapshoot, you know? You're going off what? You're going off tape and then measurables. And then hopefully you've done a lot of homework on what kind of guy they are. You know, what kind of player they're going to be. What kind of teammate they're going to be. What kind of employee they're going to be.
I'm not, and I know particularly people that are in the camp of wanting a wide receiver tip. Most people that want a wide receiver want to trade up, and they want to get one of the top 3 guys.
Yep.
Because there's this feeling there's a big gap between 3 and 4.
Right.
So I don't hate that. I don't hate the idea of trading up. My issue with it, though, is almost for sure, whether it is one of the tackles, whether it is one of the top 2 corners that we don't feel are going to be there at 17.
Yep.
The draft works this way every year, particularly if there's a run on QBs, which there almost for sure will be in the top 10. Someone is I don't know what position, but someone is going to fall at 17, fall to 17, where we're all going to be saying, how the hell are they still available?
Right.
I don't know what position that is going to be. It might not be one of the main positions that is needed, but it might be an edge.
Right.
It might be a corner.
Like Verse. You've seen Verse fall.
Someone
interesting.
There will be
seen him at 9 too.
There will be someone.
Yep.
That right now everyone is saying there's no chance they make it out of the top 15.
Right.
That will be available, just ready to take a 17.
Yep.
And again, we don't know if it's going to be one of the main positions that we think is a big need.
Right.
It might be Brock Bowers. And I'm not saying they need to take Brock Bowers.
No,
I'm just saying,
right.
Like,
but if he's there, they might. No, correct. I mean, yeah,
and that gives you a lot.
I can see that.
17 is kind of a prime spot for a guy to fall like that versus if they were picking 25.
Right, right.
Okay, let's trade up. Let's see if we think that's necessary.
Yep.
At 17, it's like, man, you might be missing out on getting a guy for not free because you're using a first-round pick,
but you know
what I mean,
Absolutely.
Without having to trade up extra.
Well, somebody's going to fall. There's two things that happen. Somebody falls, and there's going to be a runoff on one or two positions before 17.
Yep.
There is. It's going to be back-to-back. People are going to panic. They're going to jump up and trade. We may be one of them. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. Look, I don't take much from the press conference. They're not going to tell. I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you anything. I would lie to you. I would be like throwing smoke screens left and right, you know, and I tell you what, I'm going to call a smoke screen. Now, granted, I may be a little biased because this is what I think they should do and what I'd want them to do, but I'm going to call the smoke screen from the press conference that whole, hey, there's starters at offensive tackle in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. I'm going to say that's a smoke screen because that basically says, and everybody jumped on it. Oh, well, they're not thinking tackle now. No way. He said, what did he say? He mentioned fourth, fifth, and sixth round. Forget about it. He must be thinking, I can get a tackle in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what everyone believes.
Right.
Maybe. Or he's saying, no, I mean, I want to keep it. I don't want them knowing what I'm going to do. And maybe look, we know this. I think last year they knew what they needed. They needed a tackle, right? Without a doubt, because of what happened with Kim. This year, I think they've got options. I don't think they have to sit. I got to have a tackle. I got to have a corner. No, whoever you collectively get, you'll fill those needs, hopefully. But that first-round pick, hopefully he's as good as Anton Harrison was in his rookie year, regardless of position. And it's really going to matter who falls, who gets picked, who runs off, you know, who's available. You know, am I going to reach a little bit? What if all the big tackles are gone and we move back? Let's just say we move back like we did last year. You know, I see this kid out of Duke, Graham Barton. You know, what if we took him at 25? You know what I mean? What if we move back and he ends up being, you know, hey, maybe he's not full-time starter right away, but he will be. He'll start off at guard, maybe tackle, whatever. They say he's very athletic, can play multiple positions. You know, so I'll see. I think that could be a smokescreen. I'm not going to be surprised if the top corners are there and one of the top tackles are there, that we still go tackle. I'm not. I think everybody's assuming because of what Ryan Nielsen said about his corner play, that's the play. You know what I mean? It is. Look, it's guessing. It's speculation. Hopefully it's educated guesses. We know what could be, right? We know what could be. You know, if they fall back, what if they take Brian Thomas in that mid-20 range? You know, the kid out of LSU. I don't know. I feel like, and I didn't watch enough of him, but one-hit wonder. I know he's got a lot of speed. He's tall. So was DJ Shark. I thought DJ was going to be a hell of a player. I think that injury did hurt him, but at the same time, I thought he was going to be a really down the field. I mean, he was 4.34 coming out of college. He was. That doesn't mean anything, you know? I mean, it means you're fast, but can't you get a fast guy later that can catch? You have a fast guy in the team that they don't use, but, you know. Well, they use him, but Trevor doesn't even look his way or didn't last year. So, that kid's a big and tall, fast kid. What am I thinking of? 84.
Elijah Cooks?
Elijah. Oh, dude, from day one of camp, you're like, who is this kid? I don't know. But my point is, you know, it's funny. And then people are like, you know, we need a number one receiver. We need a number. Well, you know what? 2 years ago, you didn't have one. And you performed way better than you did this past year. And who knows with a rookie? I don't know. What if he has the drops? You know, everyone drops back. You know what I mean? Like, what if? What if he doesn't run the right routes? What if he, you know, takes a year? You know, I don't know. I want to build that line. I want a mean and nasty offensive line. I want someone that's going to protect Trevor. You know, you can say all you want about injuries and yada yada and all that. Your quarterback, our quarterback, got hit way too many times last year. Some self-inflicted, but mostly just not good. Not good. Doesn't have time to throw, taking a beating to make a throw. There were times you should have been really ashamed of yourself for the way you protected your quarterback. Well, that way you didn't protect your quarterback. It's pretty bad. It was pretty bad. That can't happen. I don't care if he's franchise or not. Your QB, any level, cannot get killed the way our quarterback got hit last year. There's no way.
Even if they figure it out on the offensive line and Trevor is well protected, and they figure out a way to get what would be deemed as a wide receiver one, whether they do make a trade for Ayuk or someone like that, or they draft someone high, they make an early investment in receiver. Even if Trevor is well protected, I don't know for sure if that guy will pan out. But if Trevor is not protected, then I do know for sure he won't pan out.
No, right.
If that makes sense. It's no guarantee that any potential quote-unquote wide receiver one they can get will be that guy.
Right.
But you can guarantee that that guy or the guys they already have will not be successful. There's one easy way to guarantee it. Don't protect Trevor.
Yeah.
So if they don't protect Trevor, none of these conversations matter at all.
None of it matters. At all. No, you'll be a lot like last year. You'll be one-dimensional. You have no run game. You'll have an offensive, you know, passing game that sometimes is good because he's that talented, and sometimes it's not good because he, you know, can't do anything.
We've talked about this before.
There were games he couldn't do anything. I mean, from the moment of the first snap, it was like under pressure.
We've talked about this before. He obviously sustained a lot of injuries last year, but he was able to play through most of them with the exception of the Panthers game.
Yeah.
If Trevor was not as mobile as he is, he would have suffered a season-ending injury at some point.
Oh,
I think almost for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
I mean, quarterbacks that, if he was not able to escape, especially how much pressure was coming from the inside.
Yep. Up the middle.
He has enough speed to get out of dodge in those situations and avoid 300-plus pounders falling on top of him.
Yep.
If he were slower, I mean, you can't tell me that.
Like, yeah. Even just picking up your feet sometimes saves you.
Yeah.
You know, it's true.
Right.
It's true. Well,
if he was not as good of an athlete as he is, he would have suffered a season ender.
And plus, look, they're human, man. It takes their toll. It takes its toll.
100%.
Then you start losing confidence and receivers are dropping. They're not running the right routes. And you're basically wanting to do this to him. Like, come on. Like, would you, you know what I mean? Like, let's go. Like, look, he had his faults as well. So, what I say last week, I think his best football's ahead of him. And after hearing what I heard last night, I'm really pumped for the young man. And I, you know what? I hope he gets his extension. I hope he gets whatever money he wants. And then let's go win a championship, man. Because we know you don't have to have the best QB in the league. You got to have the best QB for your offense in the league. Does that make sense? You just got to run an efficient offense. Brock Purdy's not the best QB in the league, but he is for San Fran because he runs their offense to a T. And he knows where to put the ball, when to put the ball, how to put the ball, all that stuff. And he can escape if he has to. He's got a good enough arm. He works for them. And I don't care that Trevor was drafted number one anymore. It doesn't matter to me. Just build everything around him and let him be that Brock Purdy. Let him run that offense. 2 years ago, he did it. I think last year, I know, look, and the stats don't totally show it, but I do think last year there was pressure to get the ball to Ridley deep down the field. I do think that. I think, you know, when it was third down and, you know, instead of taking a shorter, you know, pass, it was like, let's get a big throw here. And the quarterbacks want big ball. I get it. I would too, because when they complete, you're the hero. But when you don't, it just kills your team. And, you know, 2 years ago, he didn't have that pressure. Last year, I think he had a little bit of that pressure, whether he said it publicly or not. I think he did. I think he felt like he had to get the ball to Ridley down the field. I think he forced the ball to Ridley, not a lot, but enough. And, you know, that again, you can't have that. You know, if he comes in with, we come in with a rookie wide receiver that first round, you got to run the offense. Listen, they were terrible on third down. That's not running the offense. And it wasn't all protection. It wasn't all just, you know, the line. It was the quarterback. It was everybody. The receivers, you know, backs not picking stuff up. backs not getting that, whatever it was. But they were terrible on third down. You can't. It's hard to win consistently when you're bad on third down as an offense because you're giving the ball back. Now, granted, our defense was very good on third down, so they would give the ball back to you. You know, I was on Helmet Heels last Friday with Taylor and Lauren, and they made an interesting, because I made that same comment. They're like, well, maybe that's how the defense got worn out at the end. I said, you know what? There's some truth to that. There is. Back on the field. Wait, we just got off the field.
At some point, the offense has to stay on the field.
They got
to
stay on the field. They got to sustain drives. You got to eat that clock. You got to score. You know, it's not big play explode. Yeah, once in a while, that's great. But I want you running that clock down. I want you eating it. I want you getting first downs. I want you making their defense tired. Yeah. Not my defense.
Same thing.
Supposed to protect the defense. We give you the ball back. I mean, that's like, man, giving your offense the ball back 2 out of 3 times on third down through the course of a game. Think about that. How many opportunities is that for that offense? And then you repay them by doing the, like, 1 out of 3 you convert. It's terrible. Terrible. So, look, a lot's got to happen for that to be better. But at the end of the day, just make sure that the QB's efficient. Again, the 14 picks don't totally bother me. A few of them do because they were timely, and he should have seen the guy there, but he didn't. A little tunnel vision maybe. But it was more the fumbles. It was more the occasional missed throws. The awareness, not good enough. He's got everything else, but got to hone the rest in, and hopefully he can, and I think he will with this upcoming season overall. All right, Grahamage, when are you in Pockets getting on the podcast? Did you do it already this week?
No, we're doing today at noon.
Today at noon. What's the name of it again?
Denmark and Marsh.
Denmark and Marsh, the two last names. I'm going to remember that, all right? I am definitely going to remember that. I will be back on Friday. And, of course, Thursday night, if you want to come out to Graffiti Burger Bar in Jacksonville Beach, we will be kicking off Season 2 of the now-called 904 Pro Show, brought to you by Adaptive Jax and Team Tommy Mac. And opportunities to be a part of that as well. Just send me a message if you are so interested. But we will be there. I'll get there at 6. The draft starts at 8. We'll start filming at 7, be done by 8. And then we're going to hang out and watch the draft. Or at least I know I will be eating some great food and drinking a few beverages as I live right down the road. So until next time, stay safe out there and be cool. And we'll see you right here on Catching Up with Tommy Mac. Peace. I never knew that a kid like me could take his mic around the world and flash the big ass D and rock the masses from Madrid to Calabasas. Tijuana, Mexico, through the devil since Tokyo.